September 4th. So first we'll go through roll call. Today we have Councilman Jonas Hill, Councilman Marlon Skenador, myself, Jameson Wilson, and Councilman Kirby Matoxin. Councilwoman Jenny Webster is attending a meeting regarding the Progress Act, so she will be unavailable today. And we'll move into adopting today's agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jonas, seconded by Marlon. Discussion? Seeing none, we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving into current business. First up is the Computer Resources Ordinance Amendments. That's located on page 2 for your reference. And we'll pass this off to Clarissa for an overview.
Good morning. This item starts on page 2 of your packet. So the LLC added the Computer Resources Ordinance Amendments to its active files list on May 15th of 2024 at the request of Shane Hill on behalf of the Digital Technology Services Department. So DTS wanted to amend the Computer Resource Ordinance to delegate DTS Administrative Rulemaking Authority so that DTS has the ability to develop rules that support and enforce the Computer Resource Ordinance. So since this item was added to the active files list, the LLC has held 2 work meetings with DTS to work on the development of amendments to this law. On August 21st, 2024, a public meeting was held regarding the proposed amendments to the Computer Resources Ordinance. That public comment period was then held open until August 28th, 2024. So no public comments were received during the public meeting or the public comment period for this legislative item. So on page 4 of your packet, you'll see the public comment review memorandum. And this memo identifies that we did not receive any public comments, so there are no public comments for the LLC to review. This is followed on page 5 of your packet by a redline draft that demonstrates all the proposed amendments to the law. This is the draft that went to public meeting. And then on page 9 of your packet, you will see the public meeting transcript. On page 11, you will see an updated legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis has been updated to include information on the public meeting. So today, in regards to this item, we're first asking LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the public comment review memorandum, draft, and legislative analysis for the proposed amendments to the Computer Resources Ordinance.
Motion to approve the public comment review memorandum draft and legislative analysis for the proposed amendments to the Computer Resource Ordinance.
Second that.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Marlon. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Now we'll stick with the Computer Resources Ordinance amendments, and we'll talk a little bit about the fiscal impact statement request, and we'll pass this off to Clarissa for an overview.
Yes. So now that the LOC has approved a final draft of the proposed amendments to the Computer Resources Ordinance, we're ready to move on to the next step of the legislative process, which is requesting a fiscal impact statement. So the Legislative Procedures Act requires that a fiscal impact statement be provided for all proposed legislation of the nation. A fiscal impact statement is an estimate of the total fiscal year financial effects associated with proposed legislation and should include information on the startup costs, personnel, office costs, documentation costs, and an estimate of the amount of time necessary for an individual or an agency to comply with the law after implementation. So the fiscal impact statement must be completed and submitted to the LOC prior to the proposed legislation being forwarded to the Business Committee for consideration. The fiscal impact statement provides the Business Committee information on what the potential adoption of the proposed legislation would cost the nation. so that the business committee can determine if adoption of the proposed legislation is in the best interest of the nation. So the Legislative Procedures Act grants the LOC the authority to direct the finance department or any agency who may administer a program if the legislation is enacted or may have financial information concerning the subject matter of the legislation to submit a fiscal impact statement. So NIDA Business Committee Resolution BC 10-2820A, titled Further Interpretation of Fiscal Impact Statement in the Legislative Procedures Act, provides further clarification on the process for directing a fiscal impact statement be completed. So this resolution provides that upon final approval of draft legislation by the LOC may direct the finance department to provide a neutral and unbiased fiscal impact statement to the LOC within 10 business days for inclusion in adoption materials. So today, on September 4th, the LOC approved the final draft of the proposed of amendments to the computer resource ordinance. So therefore, the LOC will be directing the finance department to provide a fiscal impact statement on the proposed amendments to the computer resource ordinance by September 18th, 2024. So the fiscal impact statement request memorandum can be found on page 16 of your packet. So this includes a lot of the same information that I just provided. So today we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forward the materials to the finance department, directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by September 18th, 2024.
I'll make a motion to approve the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forward the materials to the finance department, directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by September 18th, 2024.
Support.
Motion by Marlin, seconded by Kirby. Discussion. Kirby?
I'm just wondering, Clarissa, is that enough time? That's typically within the 10 days, and that's actually more than 10 days, right?
I believe that is the 10-day time frame.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kirby. Any other comments from the LOC or anybody joining online? Seeing none, we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Sticking with current business, we'll move on to the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance Amendments. That starts on page 18 for your reference. Well, again, we'll pass this off to Clarissa for an overview.
So this item has been carried over from the previous three terms. This item was originally added to the active files list in September of 2014 per the request of the Oneida Police Department and the Oneida Law Office for clarification on how the nation's conservation wardens qualify as sworn officers. So since this item was added to the active files list this term, the LOC has held 5 work meetings with the Oneida Police Department, the Oneida Law Office, and the Oneida Police Commission to review the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance and discuss potential amendments. So on page 21 of your packet, you'll see a draft, a redline draft that demonstrates all of the proposed amendments to the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance. So some of the biggest changes in the proposed amendments to the Law Enforcement Ordinance will be the expansion of the Oneida Police Commission to the Oneida Public Safety and Security Commission. So this commission, like I said, will be expanded. So it will be handling much of the same authority as it does currently in regards to the police department, but it will also have that same oversight authority over the Internal Security Department and any other safety operation department of the nation as identified in the bylaws of the Oneida Public Safety and Security Commission. So the responsibilities of this commission will be expanded to include those other departments. A lot of the other changes, we're just making minor updates to the law. I do want to also highlight that some of the other biggest changes occur in section 301.9, which is the disciplinary proceedings for law enforcement officers. This section has been redrafted to greatly kind of just try to clarify and really simplify the language that was included. So the draft does demonstrate all of the proposed changes. Then on page 38 of your draft, you'll see a clean draft, which demonstrates what the law would look like if all the proposed amendments to the law were adopted as presented today. So today we're ready for the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the draft of the proposed amendments to the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance and direct that a legislative analysis be completed.
Brooke, are you up there? Apparently there's no sound. There's no sound in the...
Yeah, it looks like the secretary is not in the meet the right meeting. She's in the wrong tab. You're in the wrong one.
Yeah, because like there's no, I was like wondering why there's no screen on here. I can't see. Yeah, no, everybody's here. It's just like we're looking.
And I didn't register.
Oh, the secretary's down there.
There she is. But still, how do you make that the main screen? Like this, I don't know. You're showing up as in, like, good morning, everyone. We are just finding out that we got probably about a quarter of the way through the agenda and there was no audio or video that was going on virtually. So we apologize for that, but I will go over everything that we have took action on. So we started the meeting at 9:01 a.m. Present today with us is Councilman Jonas Hill, Councilman Marlon Scanador, myself, Jameson Wilson, Councilman Kirby Matoxin, and then also Councilwoman Jenny Webster is attending a Progress Act session, so she will not be joining us this morning. We move forward with adopting the agenda as is. Motion by Jonas Hill, seconded by Marlon, motion passed. Then we dove into the current business, and the first agenda item was computer resources ordinance amendments. And so the first one, the first agenda item, we approved the public comment review memorandum draft and legislative analysis for the proposed amendments to the computer resources ordinances. After that, that had passed, and then we had moved on to, within the same agenda item, we approved the fiscal impact statement request memorandum and forwarded the materials to the finance department directing that a fiscal impact statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by September 18, 2024. That motion was made by Marlon Scanador, seconded by Kirby. Motion passed. And now we are currently, are we at the Oneida Law Enforcement? Is that where we're at? Okay, so we went through the full overview of the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance Amendments. For your reference, that starts on page 18. And the proposed motion was to approve the draft of the proposed amendments to the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance and direct that a legislative analysis be completed. That's currently where we are at, correct?
Make that motion.
Support.
Motion made by Jonas, seconded by Kirby. So we're all caught up. Apologize about the technical difficulties. Appreciate you all being patient with us on that one. So again, motion by Jonas, seconded by Kirby, to approve the draft of the proposed amendments to the Oneida Law Enforcement Ordinance and direct that a legislative analysis be completed. Discussion. Seeing none, we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next, we have the Oneida General Welfare Law Amendments. That agenda item starts on page 50. We'll again pass off to Clarissa for an overview.
So on October 18th, 2023, the LSU received a request from Treasurer Larry Barton to consider making amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So Treasurer Barton provided that his attendance at a recent Native American Finance Officers Association conference provided that the U.S. Treasury would be providing tribes further guidance on the applicability and specificity of general welfare exclusion programs. So he determined that amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law may be necessary based on the guidance that is received. So since the LOC then added this to their active files list on November 1st, 2023. So since this item was added to the active files list, the LOC's held three work meetings, some of those in collaboration with representatives from finance, the Oneida Law Office. So on page 51 of your packet, you'll see a memorandum, and this is a memorandum regarding the removal of the general welfare law from the active files list. So this memo highlights that on July 29th, 2024, the LOC held a work meeting with Treasurer Larry Barton, Chief Financial Officer Relinda Ninham Lamberries, and Attorney Carl Artman from the Oneida Law Office to discuss information regarding updated U.S. Treasury guidance and those potential amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So the work group determined that the Oneida General Welfare Law should be removed from the active files list at this time. So far, no updated guidance from the U.S. Treasury has been received, and due to the upcoming United States presidential election, guidance from the U.S. Treasury is not expected to come forward until after January of 2025 at the earliest. So it was determined that it would be a more efficient use of resources to wait to consider amendments to the Oneida General Welfare Law until that guidance is received. So the LOC is therefore being asked to consider removing the Oneida General Welfare Law from its active files list, with the understanding that we can add it to the active files list later once that U.S. Treasury guidance is received if it's necessary. So today, the LOC is being asked to consider the adoption of a motion to accept the memorandum entitled Removal of the Oneida General Welfare Law from the active files list and remove the Oneida General Welfare Law from the active files list.
I'll go ahead and make that motion. I do have concerns. Yesterday I did receive something from the treasurer, but it was in regards to questions regarding tribal members on Social Security, if the general welfare was reportable. And according to him, there was a statement, and I forget who the letter was from, that it does not affect Social Security. So I'll go ahead and make the motion to accept the memorandum entitled Removal of the Oneida General Welfare Law from the active files list and remove the Oneida General Welfare Law from the active files list. Sounds like a double whammy, but I'll make that motion. And we can always, like you said, we can always put it back on the active files list.
Support.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Marlin. Discussion. Seeing none, we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Motion passes. Marlin and Kirby were in favor of the motion, and one abstention from Jonas. Again, motion passes. Moving on to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law Amendments, starting on page 52, was originally a handout. Again, we'll pass off to Clarissa for an overview.
On page 53 of your packet, you will see the one-year review of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Memorandum. So the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law was adopted on August 23rd, 2023, through the adoption of Resolution BC 8-23-23G. And the purpose of this law is to provide a death benefit through the Oneida Life Insurance Plan for all eligible enrolled Oneida Nation members pursuant to the Oneida General Welfare Law. So when the Business Committee adopted the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law, the Business Committee also directed that the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law be brought back to the LOC in 1 year for a review. So in anticipation of conducting a one-year review of this law, the LOC added the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law Amendments to its active files list on June 5th, 2024. So on August 26, 2024, the LOC met with the Trust Enrollments Department, Finance, and the Oneida Law Office to discuss the status of implementation of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law during its first year, and also to begin discussions on whether any amendments to the law are necessary at this time. So overall, the Trust Enrollments Department, Finance, and the Oneida Law Office provided that the implementation of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law has been smooth and the law is operating as it was intended. The Trust Enrollments Department provided some statistics that were current as of August 29th, 2024, to provide some perspective on how the Oneida Life Insurance Plan has been administered during this first year. So at the bottom of the first page and onto the second page, you'll see a little chart that demonstrates from September 2023 through August 2024 how many deaths were reported each month, how many OLIP claims were made each month, how many of the OLIP claims provided a beneficiary, and how many of the OLIP claims did not provide a beneficiary. So this just kind of gives some perspective of how the law has been working during its first year. And then there were some considerations. So although the Oneida Life Insurance Plan is working as it was intended, the LOC was asked to consider two areas where amendments to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law could potentially result in improvements to how the law is administered. So the first consideration was in relation to section 1004.5-2D and 1004.6-3 regarding the requirement that funeral expenses be paid directly to the funeral home first before any remaining funds are paid to the beneficiary. And then the second consideration was in regard to section 1004.5-3 regarding the notice of death requirement of 1 year. So looking at funeral expenses being paid directly to the funeral home first, the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law requires that funeral expenses be paid directly to the funeral home upon a submission of a valid invoice up to the limit of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan benefits, even if a designated beneficiary has not been designated. So later in the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law, the order of distribution of benefits is provided, and it is again clear that funeral expenses be paid to the funeral home pursuant to the receipt of a valid invoice prior to any residual benefits being paid directly to the beneficiary. So during our work meeting, Finance provided that the requirement that funeral expenses be paid directly to a funeral home prior to any remaining residual benefits being paid to the listed beneficiaries may be burdensome for Finance area to process in a timely manner, as individual vendor numbers need to be created for each funeral home that may be used by a member of the nation, in addition to processing payments of residual benefits for any listed beneficiary. So Finance asked the LOC to consider having the entire benefit paid out directly to the beneficiary instead to create a more efficient process. So although the LOC understood the concern in regard to the workload of Finance, ultimately, the decision was made that the law should remain as drafted and require that funeral expenses be paid directly to a funeral home prior to any remaining residual benefits being paid to the listed beneficiaries. The Legislative Operating Committee determined that the assurance this policy provides that the funeral expenses of a member of the nation will be paid, even for those members who have not filled out the beneficiary form, outweighs any burden that may arise that would may require the staffing and Finance to be increased in the future to handle the workload caused by this law. So the LOC determined that this policy consideration to require funeral expenses to be paid first is important and should be maintained. Then in regard to the notice of death, the law requires that the Oneida Trust Enrollment Department be notified within 1 year of the member of the nation's death in order to distribute the Oneida Life Insurance Plan benefits to the beneficiary. The Oneida Life Insurance Plan law is clear that claims made beyond the first anniversary of the decedent's death shall not be processed for distribution. So the LOC was informed that there was one situation that occurred during the last year in which a tribal member made a claim for benefits from the Oneida Life Insurance Plan beyond the first anniversary of the decedent's death, and therefore they were denied benefits in accordance with Section 1004.5-3 of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law. So Finance asked the LOC to reconsider the one-year notice requirement in the law, as it may be unnecessarily limiting to members of the nation, since there are no accounting standards or practices that would require the notification of the claim of these funds to occur within 1 year. So the LOC did agree that greater flexibility and consideration could be given to members of the nation by increasing the notification period, but ultimately still wanted to maintain some notice requirement to ensure that claims are not held open indefinitely. The Legislative Operating Committee determined that amendments to the law should be pursued to increase the period of time allowed to be notified to the Trust Enrollment Department of a death in order to distribute benefits from 1 year to 3 years. So the LOC will be pursuing amendments to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law in accordance with the Legislative Procedures Act. So everyone is encouraged to follow the amendments to the law as the law moves through the legislative process and participate in the legislative process by providing comments or questions during future public meetings and public comment periods. So the first motion we're asking the LOC to consider in regards to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law amendments is to accept the memorandum entitled 1 Year Review of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan Law.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Marlin. Discussion.
Go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated the conversation that we had in regards to the finance bringing up the idea of creating vendors for the funeral homes. But for me, it just kind of came down to the vision of our nation of built on strong families, and death can bring a lot of problems within the family. So we thought another wrench into it, making sure funeral homes are getting paid first, and that there's no other discrepancies between family members. I think it was just the right thing to do to keep it as is.
Thank you, Marlin. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Staying within the realm of the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law amendments, we'll go back to Clarissa.
So as I stated, the LOC did decide to pursue amendments to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law. So in your packet, starting on page 56, you'll see a redline draft to the current law, which demonstrates proposed amendments. So specifically looking to page 58 of your packet, starting down on line 105 through line 110, we'll see section 1004.5-3. So in this section, you'll see here's where the primary amendments are being made. And again, that is to change the notification period from 1 year to 3 years. So this is extending the amount of time a family has to inform the Trust Enrollment Department of a member's death in order to claim Oneida Life Insurance Plan benefits as the beneficiary. This is followed by a clean draft on page 60, which again shows what the law would read if the proposed amendments were adopted as is. So today we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the draft of proposed amendments to the Oneida Life Insurance Plan law and direct that a legislative analysis be developed.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Marlin, seconded by Jonas. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to new submissions, starting with workplace violence law amendments. And for your reference, that's starting on page 64. off to Clarissa for an overview.
So on June 28th, 2024, the LOC received a request from Matt Denny with the Human Resources Department, EEO, to consider amendments to the workplace violence law. They're requesting changes to the workplace violence law to change the reporting of workplace violence so that it would go directly to EEO instead of going to the supervisor. So they propose that this change supports a timely prevention and response. Not only does it expedite the process, but it also creates an objective and safe place to report workplace violence. We do want to highlight that currently the workplace violence law is already on the LOC's active files list being worked on. So we don't have to re-add it at this time. So we will make a note of the requested changes provided in this agenda request form. So today we are asking the LOC to consider a motion to accept the request for amendments to the workplace violence law as information, noting the workplace violence law is already on the active files list.
Second.
Motion by Jonas, seconded by Marlin. To accept the request for amendments to the workplace violence law as information, noting the workplace violence law is already on the active files list. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to Oneida General Welfare Law Amendments. That is starting on page 65. Clarissa, can you share an overview with us regarding the amendments?
Yes. So on June 17th, 2024, the LLC received a request from Tribal Member Evangeline Trevon to consider amendments to the General Welfare Law. So she's looking for the LLC to consider a situation in which a tribal member dies before receiving their general welfare assistance payments and whether or not that GWA assistance payment could be used to pay any debts owed to tribal departments such as housing or utilities. So I will note that the LOC today has taken action to remove the general welfare law amendments from the active files list. In anticipation that this item will be re-added in the future once the U.S. Treasury guidelines are received. So what we can do, because we just removed this from the active files list, is we will take this agenda request form and the information contained in this form and include it in our files so that the next time the Oneida General Welfare Law is opened up, we can kind of take a deeper dive into the requests of this agenda request form. So today, we're asking the LOC to deny the request to add the Oneida General Welfare Law amendments to the active files list.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Marlin, to deny the request to add the Oneida General Welfare Law amendments to the active files list. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Moving on to administrative updates. And first on the docket is e-poll results. They're all e-poll results, but this one is approval of the canceled July 17th, 2024 LOC meeting materials. That's starting on page 67 for your reference. Clarissa?
Yes, so on July 17th, 2024, the LOC conducted an e-poll titled Approval of the Canceled July 17th, 2024 LOC meeting materials. So that June 17th LOC meeting was canceled due to a lack of quorum based on scheduling conflicts. And the August 7th and August 21st LOC meetings were also canceled. So in an effort to not delay work moving forward, the LOC was asked to e-poll some of the materials that were originally included on the July 17th LOC meeting agenda. So the requested action of this e-poll was to approve the June 19th, 2024 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee. Approve the adoption packet for the proposed amendments to the back pay law and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration. Accept the legislative analysis for the proposed amendments to the investigative leave policy. Accept the memorandum from James Snitchin and remove the environmental review law from the active files list. Add the petition L. Black Owl New Recreation Community Center bill to the active files list with Jameson Wilson as the sponsor. Accept the status update for the petition L. Black Owl and forward to the business committee. Enter into the record the results of the July 1st, 2024 e-poll and approve the Legislative Operating Committee fiscal year 2024 third quarter report and forward to the Oneida Business Committee. So on page 68, you'll see, or starting on page 67, you'll see kind of the e-poll results. And this is followed by all the backup material starting on page 71. So this e-poll was approved by Kirby Matoxin, Jennifer Webster, Jonas Hill, and Jameson Wilson. And then Marlon Skinnador was on personal leave at this time and therefore did not provide a response to this e-poll. So today we're asking the LOC to enter into the record the results of the July 17th, 2024 e-poll entitled Approval of the Canceled July 17th, 2024 LOC Meeting Materials.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jonas. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
All right.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention. Marlon, motion passes. We'll stay in the realm of e-poll results, moving on to the approval of the Vehicle Driver Certification and Fleet Management Law Amendments, Public Comment Review Memo, Draft, and Fiscal Impact Statement Request. And that is starting on page 147 for your reference. Clarissa?
So on July 29th, the LOC conducted an e-poll to approve the materials related to the Vehicle Driver Certification and Fleet Management Law Amendments. So the LOC conducted this e-poll to avoid a delay in work, again, because the August LOC meetings were canceled. And the next LOC meeting was not to occur until September 4th. So the requested action of this e-poll was to approve the public comment review memorandum, draft, and legislative analysis for the proposed amendments to the Vehicle Driver Certification and Fleet Management Law, and approve the Fiscal Impact Statement Request Memorandum and forward to the Finance Department, directing that a Fiscal Impact Statement be prepared and submitted to the LOC by August 28, 2024. So this e-poll was approved by Jennifer Webster, Jonas Hill, and Kirby Matoxin. Jameson Wilson did not provide a response, and Marlon Skinnador was on personal leave and therefore did not provide a response. And then the backup materials for this e-poll do start on page 150 of your packet. So today we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to enter into the record the results of the July 29th, 2024 e-poll entitled Approval of the Vehicle Driver Certification and Fleet Management Law Amendments, Public Comment Review Memo, Draft, and Fiscal Impact Statement Request.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Jonas, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? As a note, I don't remember missing that e-poll, but I guess that happened, so I apologize for that. That's the only discussion I foresee happening on this particular agenda item, so we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
All right.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Marlon. Motion passes. Next, we'll take a look at another set of e-poll results. Approval of the Investigative Leave Policy Amendments public meeting packet located on page 167. Clarissa.
On July 30th, 2024, the LOC conducted an e-poll regarding the approval of the Investigative Leave Policy Amendments public meeting packet. Again, the e-poll is necessary to avoid a delay in work because the July 17th, 2024 LOC meeting was canceled along with the August 7th and August 21 meetings. And the next meeting was not scheduled to occur until September 4th, and we needed to meet the Gully Wee Sox submission deadline of August 1st, 2024. So the approved action of this e-poll was to approve the public meeting packet for the investigative leave policy amendments and forward the investigative leave policy amendments to a public meeting to be held on September 13th, 2024. So this EPOL was approved by Jennifer Webster, Jonas Hill, Jameson Wilson, and Kirby Matoxin. Again, Marlon Skinnador was on personal leave and did not provide a response. The backup materials for this EPOL can be found starting on page 170 of your packet. So today we're asking the LOC to consider a motion to enter into the record the results of the July 30th, 2024 EPOL entitled Approval of the Investigative Leave Policy Amendments Public Meeting Packet.
So move.
Support.
Motion by Jonas, seconded by Kirby. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Marlon. Motion passes. Moving on to another set of EPOL results, and that is the approval of the September 4th, 2024 LOC community meeting. That starts on page 193 for your reference. Clarissa.
On July 30th, 2024, the LOC conducted an EPOL entitled Approval of the September 4th, 2024 LOC community meeting. So this EPOL approved the community meeting scheduled for September 4th, 2024. This EPOL was necessary to meet the August 1st Gully We Suck submission deadline. And the requested action of this EPOL was to approve the LOC community meeting notice and schedule the community meeting to take place on September 4th, 2024. So this EPOL was approved by Jennifer Webster, Jonas Hill, and Kirby Matoxin. Jameson Wilson did not provide a response, and Marlon Skinnador was on personal leave and therefore did not provide a response. And the meeting material or the backup materials can be found starting on page 195. And I do want to just shout out that this community meeting is occurring tonight, Wednesday, September 4th, from 5:30 p.m. To 7:30 p.m. in the Norbert Hill Center cafeteria. So today we are asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to enter into the record the results of the July 30th, 2024 EPOL entitled Approval of the September 4th, 2024 LOC Community Meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jonas. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Marlon. Motion passes. Next is the certification of the landlord-tenant law rule number 2 amendments, and that's located on page 196. Again, a set of EPOL results. Clarissa.
On August 1st, 2024, the LOC conducted an EPOL entitled Certification of the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2 Amendments. So this EPOL certified the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2 Amendments. This EPOL was necessary to avoid an undue delay in processing the adoption of this rule because the next LOC meeting was not scheduled to occur until September 4th. So the requested action of this EPOL was to certify the amendments to the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2, income-based rental program eligibility selection and other requirements, finding good cause in accordance with Section 106.7-1A of the Administrative Rulemaking Law, and forward to the Business Committee for consideration. So this EPOL was approved by Kirby Matoxin, Jennifer Webster, Jameson Wilson, and Jonas Hill. Marlon Skinnader was on personal leave and therefore did not provide a response. The backup materials for this EPOL can be found starting at page 199 of your packet. So today we're asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to enter into the record the results of the August 1st, 2024 EPOL entitled Certification of the Landlord-Tenant Law Rule Number 2 Amendments.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jonas. Discussion? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Marlon. Motion carries. Next is the statement of effect for the petition L. Black Owl New Recreation Community Center Build. And that's starting on page 237 for your reference. Clarissa.
On August 1st, 2024, the LLC conducted an e-poll entitled Statement of Effect for the Petition L. Black Owl New Recreation Community Center Build. This e-poll processed the Statement of Effect for this petition. So an e-poll was necessary to avoid an undue delay in the processing of the Statement of Effect because the next LLC meeting was not scheduled to occur until September 4th. And the update on the actual statement of effect was due at the August 14th, 2024 Oneida Business Committee meeting. So the requested action of this LLC e-poll was to accept the statement of effect for the petition L. Black Owl New Recreation Community Center built and forward to the Oneida Business Committee. This e-poll was approved by Jennifer Webster, Jonas Hill, Kirby Matoxin, and Jamison Wilson. Again, Marlon Skinnerdor was on personal leave at this time and therefore did not provide a response. The backup materials, which is the statement of effect for this item, can be found on page 240 of your packet. So today we're asking the LLC to enter into the record the results of the August 1st, 2024 e-poll entitled Statement of Effect for the Petition L. Black Owl New Recreation Community Center Build.
So moved.
Motion by Kirby, seconded by Jonas.
Discussion.
Go ahead, Kirby.
Yeah, I just wanted to say for the record, these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items that were e-polled, it's not normal that we have that many e-polls done at one time, but in the last month or two, month and a half, due to training, vacation and time off, the LOC was not able to meet and have a quorum, but business does not stop. So we had decided to continue to move forward with things that were pressing that we needed to take action on. And so we, all these e-polls were done during that time. Just wanted to explain that. I was going to mention it each time we went through these on all the discussions, but I thought I'll just wait till the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirby. Any more comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstain.
One abstention, Marlon. Motion passes. That concludes our agenda today. We're just looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Support.
Motion by Jonas, seconded by Kirby. Discussion. Seeing none, we will move to a vote. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. That concludes today's LOC meeting. Appreciate everybody's patience in joining us today. And those that did join us virtually, you have participated in this term's longest LOC meeting. Thank you. Onogiwa, have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.